History has revision at your fingertips.
On the 1st of May 1960, an American U-2 spy plane was shot down over Soviet territory. This created a major international incident, one known as the U-2 crisis. This crisis highlighted the increasing sense of tension between the two superpowers, even though it was meant to be a period of peaceful coexistence. The U-2 spy plane was built in 1955 and came into operation in 1957. It was something which the Soviets had nothing to compete with. It could fly at incredibly high altitudes, up to 70,000 feet. It also had very sensitive monitoring equipment on it. It was said that it would be able to read a newspaper from that very height. At that altitude, it would be beyond the range of Soviet fighters, missiles, and even radar. This allowed the United States to make overflights over the Soviet Union without fear of being shot down. The flights were conducted by the CIA, the Central Intelligence Agency, and it was said that by 1959, about 90% of America's intelligence information about the Soviet buildup of missiles and bombers came from these U-2 flights. For Khrushchev, the flights were a national humiliation for the Soviet Union. He could not publicly condemn the United States for doing this, because that would be an admission that the Soviets had no power to be able to shoot them down. He claimed that the U-2 flights spat in the face of the Soviet people. Khrushchev was anxious to stop these flights from happening. He wanted anyone shot down at any cost. He wanted to expose the United States for their duplicity. Khrushchev's hopes were realized on May Day, the May the 1st national holiday for the workers of the Soviet Union. Taking off from Peshawar in Pakistan, Operation Grand Slam saw a U-2 flight over Soviet territory to monitor ICBM sites near Sverdlovsk. Piloted by Captain Gary Powers, it was due to fly over Soviet territory and land at Bodø in Norway. When the plane was spotted by Soviet radar, all stations were put on red alert. Fighter jets were launched in order to try and intercept it, but the U-2's height was too much for it. Surface-to-air missiles were launched at it, 14 in total, and one of them exploded near enough to the U-2 to be able to make it start plunging out of control. Gary Powers was able to bail out of the plane, but he didn't press the plane's self-destruct button before he did so. Powers carried with him a suicide pin contained within a silver dollar. He chose not to use it. Unfortunately for the Soviets, in the missile salvo which was launched at Gary Powers' jet, one of them hit one of their own, a MiG-19, and the pilot was killed. Apparently, because it was the May Day bank holiday, they'd forgotten to change the access codes, and as a result, the missiles identified that plane as foe. But it was the Americans who were now in a bit of a pickle. They knew the spy plane had gone missing. But what condition was it in? Was the pilot still alive? How could the real purpose of the flight be covered up? Eisenhower and his team devised a cover story. A press release was concocted and issued by NASA, noting that one of their aircraft had gone missing north of Turkey, i.e. in Soviet territory. They claimed that the pilot was having trouble with his oxygen and may have gone unconscious when the plane was still on autopilot. To make the claim even more convincing, a U-2 plane was hastily painted in NASA's livery and shown to the world's press. Following this, Khrushchev announced to the world that a spy plane had been shot down over Soviet territory. He made no mention of the pilot, and the Americans assumed that he must be dead. The White House went on to explain how a weather research aircraft may have strayed into Soviet airspace. The press office claimed there was no deliberate attempt to violate Soviet territory. It was at this point that Khrushchev revealed that the pilot was still alive and in Soviet custody, and that the plane itself was generally still intact. The spying equipment had been found, and some of the photographs actually taken were published. The Americans and President Eisenhower had been well and truly caught out. The Americans admitted that it was a spy plane in the end, but refused to apologize for the actions that they took. It was a profound embarrassment to Eisenhower, and it affected America's international reputation. The biggest loss as the result of the U-2 crisis was the failure of the Paris summit in May 1960. It was meant to be a time when the leaders of France, Britain, America, and the Soviet Union would meet in order to discuss issues such as Berlin and arms reduction. Khrushchev insisted on an American apology for their actions over the Soviet Union, which Eisenhower refused to give. Khrushchev made the grand public relations gesture of storming out of the Congress, claiming that America's perfidy had resulted in destroying the aim of reducing international tension and creating the conditions needed for fruitful work at the summit conference. The arguments over the crisis then proceeded to the United Nations, where the USSR sought to condemn the United States' actions, and the Americans proposed an open skies policy in which it would be fair for either side to monitor what's going on in the other's territory. Clearly, the Russians didn't want this because they had a lot to hide. The fact that they didn't have enough to hide. The U-2 flights had proven once and for all that there was no missile gap. The Soviet Union simply couldn't keep up with the United States in the production of missile technology. As for Gary Powers, he was paraded on Soviet television, he was put on trial and sentenced to 3 years in prison and 7 years hard labour for his actions. Although, after only 2 years, he was released in a spy swap with Rudolf Abel, a Soviet agent. As for the U-2 plane itself, it did continue in operation and played a vital role during the Cuban Missile Crisis. But now it was vulnerable to missiles. The attention turned to spy satellites instead. The Americans accelerated their Corona program, in which they produced a satellite which could be just as accurate as the U-2 was before. This crisis marked the start of a new period of hostility between East and West. After the period of peaceful coexistence, this proved that the Americans and the Soviets were both very suspicious of each other, and tensions could easily flare up, as they would do over Berlin in 1961 and over Cuba in 1962. Goodbye, and good luck.